I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. And today we're going to the soda fountain. Unless you're in your 70s or 80s, you are probably too young to recognize the drinks from old-timey soda fountain menus. Drinks like a brown cow or an egg cream. Even a malted. I know what a malt is, but a malted? Anyway, there's a popular restaurant in town giving a nod to the Kansas City soda fountain tradition. They've even got an old school drink on the menu, much to the confusion of the youngins. Intern Trevor Hook takes us there.
Brown and Low is an upscale bistro in the heart of the River Market, with a large open interior with checkered black and white floors. They carry high dollar wines and cocktails, but something on the non-alcoholic side of the menu jumps out. They're phosphates. Before I was assigned to this story, I had absolutely no idea what a phosphate was. Josh Eaton, assistant general manager at Brown & Low, explained it to me.
It's kind of an old-fashioned drugstore drink you would have gotten in the 50s, maybe at a dime store like Woolworth's or Richardson's, or at a drugstore like an old-fashioned soda fountain.
It turns out phosphates can be made with many kinds of flavors and syrups. At Brown & Low, their most popular kind is the chocolate phosphate. At first glance, it seems similar to a drink like a Yoo-Hoo. Josh says that's not quite the case.
I would say it's sort of like a chocolate milkshake, except for that it has soda and it has that tanginess to it. So really, it's sort of rich, but it's refreshing at the same time.
Josh says that the recipe for their phosphates is strikingly similar to the ones used in the 1950s, just with seltzer water from a can instead of a spigot. He says adding phosphate almost acts like adding salt to chocolate in a way. To make the drink, he starts with 2 ounces of a particular kind of chocolate syrup. Fox's You Bet chocolate syrup. He then adds 1 ounce of half and half.
And 4 dashes of the acid phosphate, which, again, talking about this being like salt, if you think about chocolate with sea salt on it, which we like, you can kind of see the way this works together.
He adds some ice.
Put some ice on it.
Shakes it. And strains the mixture over more ice while adding some club soda.
Straw in there, and there's your chocolate phosphate.
It certainly tastes like a cousin of a chocolate milkshake. It's sweet, but not quite in a way a milkshake would be. It's like if you replace most of the dairy in a milkshake, so it's not so rich, and added a carbonated bite to it. It's lighter than a milkshake, and it's really good.
What the phosphate would have that those don't is that sour taste that gives it a bit of an edge in your mouth, a crispness, a little acidic kind of burn, not offensive at all, just gives it character.
Longtime bartender Harry Murphy owns Brown & Low with his daughter Kate McLaughlin. It's his latest venture after Harry's Country Club, also in the River Market. Harry's relationship with chocolate phosphates goes way back.
To some extent, the phosphate is a revival of something that used to be pretty common, meaning everything didn't taste the same. It has to do with authenticity and feeling like somebody's really working to produce this.
Harry says they get all kinds of reactions to having phosphates on the menu.
We get people saying, I don't get it. It tastes the same to me as any soda pop or Kool-Aid. Well, they're wrong, I think. And, you know, they may not have the best palate in the world, but neither do I. A phosphate can still make its mark when I drink it. And that's what I like about it. It's like, a good friend.
That was Harry Murphy at Brown & Low, where they're bringing back the chocolate phosphate. Thanks to Trevor Hook for checking it out. And now I want to meet that old friend Harry was just talking about. Not only the phosphate, the whole soda fountain idea, because once upon a time, soda fountains were a big deal in Kansas City. Call 816-235-2888 with your memories and tell us about your favorite soda fountain drinks. 816-235-2888. Andrea Broomfield is a food historian, and she's going to help us out. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to be back.
So what was the deal with soda fountains in Kansas City?
Well, Kansas City was hardly alone, but if you go back to the 1880s, and even earlier than that, there was a huge push to introduce a kind of a mineral water to the drugstore because mineral waters were thought to be healthy. And so you had a lot of people who were involved in trying to figure out a way to take still water and carbonate it to recreate the mineral springs like you would have known with Excelsior Springs. And so this idea that these waters were healthy meant that it worked well in drugstores, which were supposed to obviously be a place of health.
Oh, this answers like one of my burning questions, which is why were these soda fountains in drugstores? That seems so weird to me.
Well, and there's more to it than that, because as we've just heard about the phosphates, I mean, the best people to be working with chemicals would probably be chemists who are pharmacists. And so there was a sense that not only could you go to the drugstore and get a healthy treat, but you would have the person in charge of the drugstore who knew how to mix the chemicals.
It is pretty funny to think that, like, chocolate and carbonated beverage together is like, what a healthy treat.
Well, and okay, so that brings us to the I'm gonna move forward to about the 1920s. We had this thing called Prohibition, and Prohibition probably was one of the best things to happen to drugstores, because you move from hard drinks to soft drinks. Soft drinks are considered healthy because they don't make you drunk. And so lots of drugstores began to incorporate into their spaces pre-made soda fountains as a way to give people a sweet but non-hard drink that would pep them up, give them
enjoyment. And that explains why it was basically like the setup of a bar.
Because, that's right.
And, you know, okay, so as a lot of our longtime KCUR listeners probably recall, my mentor and predecessor, Walt Bodine, grew up in one of those soda fountains
his
dad's drugstore. And he told me once that it was like a talk show because people came and sat in those stools. Like, they'd come in and out, take their seat, talk for a while. Then someone else comes in with a little update on something going on in the neighborhood, which I loved.
Well, and the idea of moving into a drugstore and becoming the soda jerk was a huge deal, because it was like being a bartender. In other words, you had to have a lot of finesse with the movements of jerking those spigots to get the soda out, mixing it with the syrup. At the same time, you have to be talking to the customers. You have to have a charming personality. And so...
So you have to be not a jerk.
That's right. And the soda jerk was really a play on the soda clerk. And the soda clerk was, you know, the one who commanded the soda fountain. And a lot of, I don't think this was probably true for Walt necessarily, because his dad owned the drugstore in the Hotel Orman. But for a lot of kids, they would start, you know, sweeping the floors of those drugstores, and they would work themselves up to the coveted position of becoming the soda jerk.
Wow. You know, I'm curious about what they served besides the phosphate. We just heard about this phosphate, which is a drink that has intrigued me for a long time, because my mom was always trying to order it when I was a kid, and it no longer existed anywhere. But she'd always be like, do you have a phosphate? What? But what else?
Well, you know, this is my theory, and I hope somebody smarter than me will call in and clarify. But it seems to me that Kansas City had a real love affair with the limeade and the cherry limeade.
Still does. I think we still do have a love affair with those.
I do too. And, you know, on the East Coast, people were really, they love the egg cream, which had no cream and had no eggs. Okay, so I just clarify that. But in this part of the world, the limeade and the cherry limeade were so popular, I think, because phosphates, particularly cherry phosphates, had that acid that was basically a pH of 2, which is the same as lime juice. And so you begin to replace the cherry phosphate with the cherry limeade, which it continues today to be really popular. But everyone loved limeades and cherry limeades in this area, and they love malteds. Okay, so the malted would be malted milk, and from there, malted ice cream. In other words, you add a tablespoon of malt powder to a milkshake, and you blend it just right, and it gives that milkshake just an edge. And I think Walt Bodine used to talk about how much he loved the chocolate malted milkshakes that were served at Fox's Drugs in Raytown, and Fox's is still producing those chocolate malteds.
Well, we actually have a caller who wants to talk about that exact place. So I'm going to turn to our listeners now, and we'll get back to this because I am curious about where soda fountains went, and we'll talk about that shortly. Paula in Raytown, welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hi. Please go on.
I'm just my fondest memories of Foxes. My dad was on chemo, and the one thing he did want after having chemo was to have a chocolate phosphate. And we hit Foxes a lot, and he passed away in 1985. And then I've continued to go there even after the pharmacist retired so that I could have the old-fashioned feeling, you know, the little neighborhood town. We hide rocks. We have painted rocks in Raytown. We hide them there. We have chili and beans and ham and cornbread with honey butter. It is really a sweet step back to the old days.
Aw. Well, can you tell me more about your favorite drink?
Well, I mean, I'd have to go with the malted. I'd have to go with the chocolate malt. That would be my favorite. But I'll drink anything that has chocolate in it. I'll drink anything with chocolate.
Okay, so you're just a chocolate fan who likes the soda fountain.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Paula.
Well, come on to Raytown and have one.
Okay, I appreciate that invitation. I'll have to take you up on it.
Thank you.
Bye. And now we've got Linda. Linda, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I grew up in Brookside, and I went to Katz's drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
They had a counter with stools, and I used to love sitting on the stools at the counter and having a hamburger with sauce, which is a mixture of ketchup and mustard, and a cherry phosphate.
Uh-huh.
I loved the cherry phosphates.
Whoa, you know what? This seems to be a popular item because we have another caller also waiting to tell us about this one. So I might let our next caller tell us about cherry phosphates. Why don't you tell us about the Katz's in Brookside that you remember?
Well, it's now the CVS drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still a drugstore, but they got rid of the counter, which was really sad, I thought.
Wasn't it also McDaniels for a while?
Uh-huh. It was. It was.
Anyway, go on.
Yeah. No, it was just, once they got rid of the counter, it just doesn't have quite the same feel. But I guess that's the way of the world.
Oh, well.
But, yeah.
And
it was great. But if there anybody knows where I can get a cherry phosphate, I'd love to have one now.
Okay, a cherry phosphate. Perhaps Harry from Brown and Low is listening. He's already gotten the chocolate phosphate figured out. But let's turn to Joe in Kansas City. Joe, you also are a fan of the cherry phosphate.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Love the show.
Thanks. What do you want to tell? So you went to a different Katz's, right?
Yeah, I started school at Linwood Elementary down on Linwood, just east of Paseo. And we lived on Highland, and on Saturdays, my mother would take my sister and I, and we would walk up to the Katz drugstore at Linwood and Troost.
Right.
And they had a great soda fountain, and I would get a cherry phosphate and a hot dog, and then my sister would get the same thing, and my little brother, all he ever wanted was a chocolate phosphate, so... Then we'd have that, and then on the way back home, we walked past the old Russell Stover's cobalt blue mirrored store there on Linwood, and we'd get a piece of candy each, and then go home happy campers.
Yeah, I bet.
I bet.
So, Joe,
what
can you tell us, though? I mean, we're hearing several votes for the cherry phosphate. What is it about the cherry phosphate that you remember?
Well, like the gentleman said earlier, I like the bite.
Mm-hmm.
It had a nice little finish, you know, a little tangy, tarty finish to it. And my sister loved that, too. And as a matter of fact, we were just talking about this last weekend, how we wish we could go down to Katz and get a cherry phosphate. But those days are long gone.
Oh, Joe, well, thank you for that call.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Andrea Broomfield, okay, so we're hearing about these particular places
right.
And these particular drinks. What are your thoughts as you listen to these callers?
Well, I guess that I would love to have a cherry phosphate to see for myself. I mean, because these drinks were really gone by the time I was a kid. But I think that just based on what Joe said, that kick to the cherry phosphate was recreated by the cherry limeade in a similar way that you would get the sweet, the tart, and also that kick. And so when I was a kid, about the nearest that we would have to these memories were probably places like Topsy's, where, and you could still go to the Topsy's on the plaza on a hot day and order a cherry limeade.
Doesn't it seem like a lot of places serving cherry limeades mm-hmm. put like 7-Up or Sprite in there instead
right,
of...
Right, probably. But I think that Topsy's does theirs fresh squeezed.
Then my other question about this is the emphasis on the word limeade. I say it right. the way you do, but I have been corrected. And it seems like there is a date. There's like a debate.
Okay.
Limeade or limeade?
I've never been exposed to that debate. When I was a kid, it was a limeade.
Me too.
And it was like lemonade, but it was lime, which made it better.
Let's talk to Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. I live in Independence, and there's a drugstore on the square. It's called Clinton's Drug.
That's right.
And as far as I know, it's still there. It's been a little while since I've been there, but being totally blind, I used to like to ride the bus up to the square and then hike over to the Clinton drugstore. And I too, like the cherry phosphate. There's something about just a little bit of sharpness to it. And yet, it's still a sweet drink. I like that. And maybe ice cream.
Oh, Dave, thank you. I'm curious, Andrea, about Clinton's.
Right. Well, Clinton's is well known in Kansas City because Clinton's stands where there was a drugstore when Harry S. Truman worked at the drugstore as a soda jerk. And I think that building on Independence Square has been various things over the course of its career. You know, I think at one point it might have even been a shoe store. But as far as I know, it's been Clinton's at least since about the mid-80s. And it really does try to reproduce these old-fashioned treats.
So what did happen to the soda fountains? Why did they go away? Mostly go away,
yeah,
I should say.
Mostly went away. I think that if you think about the neighborhood drugstore, it really was based on pedestrian traffic. A lot of them were on the main street or the main square, and people would walk to them. Well, you have the car, and the advent of the automobile begins to really change the demographics, obviously. And soda fountains become sort of like old-fashioned and not very trendy, whereas the drive-in became the place where you would go. And drive-ins typically would recreate many of these kinds of old-fashioned treats, like a root beer float, for example. At the same time, the technology changes, and you end up with the sodas pre-mixed. It doesn't demand so much work on the part of the soda jerk to do the blending correctly. And the soda fountain, as we know it then, dies out.
Do you think people's tastes kind of adjusted with those changes? Because this liking, I mean, hearing people talk about liking as kids,
right.
a drink with a kick to it or mm-hmm. a bite to it, as opposed to just pure sweetness.
Right.
That seems like something's changed.
Well, I mean, I'll speak to my memory of that. The first time I had an ice cream soda was probably in the basement of the Kansas City Museum. Where they created the ice cream soda.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Okay. So it seemed like a kind of a dark and spooky place down there. And we sat down and I ordered an ice cream soda, and I did not like it one bit. It tasted like somebody had mixed club soda with ice cream, and it just didn't taste correct to me. So maybe that's what you're getting at. Our tastes change based on what you grow up having.
Being exposed to.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk to Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about you?
Just doing great. I'm loving this show and just want to add a few comments. I'm currently 72 years old. Just started working in my father's drugstore as a soda jerk when I was 12 years old. So I bring back great memories, and I agree with everything I've heard said about the old soda fountains, but there's one thing that hasn't been mentioned. In the early years, we didn't have ice machines.
That's right.
And we bought blocks of ice. I think they were 200-pound blocks.
Mm-hmm. Holy moly.
And it was a soda jerk's responsibility to chunk off pieces about the size of a brick, then shave it into the ice box with a 5- or 6-pronged ice pick that was made shaving ice. And that's one thing that made those ice drinks so good was this fresh ice.
Absolutely.
It really made a difference, not only in the taste, but in the texture of the drink.
I've heard about fresh ingredients, and I guess ice is not one of the ingredients where I think about freshness contributing something to the flavor. I know this might be really hard to explain, but what is it about a fresh block of ice that changes the drink?
Well, part of it is the appearance, because block ice like that is crystal clear when you start chopping it into small pieces. But also the ice pieces that they are serving in the drink are not uniform. So they're all different shapes, sizes, and there's something about the pureness of that ice that just enhanced the drinks.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Terry. And where was this drugstore where you worked as a soda jerk?
It was actually in Topeka, Kansas.
Oh, very cool. Thanks for sharing, Terry.
You're welcome.
You know, in your research, Andrea, have you turned up like a favorite soda fountain story or like a drink that you really wish you could try?
I guess I would really like to try an egg cream. And I don't recall those being that popular in this area, but how would you make soda and syrup and milk taste like egg cream? I'm fascinated by that.
Let's talk to one last caller. We've got Kent with us in Baldwin. Hi, Kent.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'll be quick. I hadn't heard anybody mention this, but in the Five and Dime where I was a kid growing up in the early 60s and 70s, they had a thing called a Green River, and it was in like a water bottle on the back of the counter, upside down like a water bottle, and it was like kind of glowing, kind of green. And I think they mixed seltzer water or something with it. And it was a lime kind of drink, and I don't know if anyone remembers that besides me, but...
Someone else does. We've received two calls about this. So someone else does, just letting you know.
Okay. All right, so and we had a drugstore and a Five and Dime, and so you could get a nickel chocolate Coke at the drugstore. They had a small counter, but they had a big one at the Five and Dime.
Andrea, have you heard of this before?
The Green River?
Yeah.
Yes, I have. And I really appreciate Kent some details on that, because I was flummoxed as to what it was. But the fact that it was coming out of a bottle and it was a green color and it tasted like lime. And again, maybe the limeade became so popular as a way to replace that.
Well, Andrea Broomfield, thank you. I'm
You're
sure
welcome.
That people will let us know if they know of anywhere that serves the egg cream you're seeking or this Green River or even a cherry phosphate. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Andrea is a food historian who's written a book on the history of restaurants in Kansas City. She teaches at Johnson County Community College. Up next, frozen treats with the food critics. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the zaniest and tastiest ice cream novelties in town. The food critics are here. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and we just talked about refreshing beverages from Kansas City's past. Now we're going to help you find delicious summertime treats that you can eat right now. Call 816-235-2888 with your favorite frozen desserts and drinks. And yes, ice cream counts, but don't forget popsicles, floats, ice cream sandwiches, any kind of random frozen fruit thingies, and whatever else you know of. 816-235-2888, because we need to plot out a frozen novelty tour of Kansas City before the summer is over. Jill Silva, Jenny Vergara, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so any big trends we need to talk about in the world of frozen novelties and summertime treats?
Well, you know, I think the last year really has seen an influx of Asian kind of inspired desserts, lots of rolled ice cream and shaved, you know, kind of ice milk like Thai kind of dishes, halo-halo, certainly some Filipino kind of all of that is kind of translating now into our culture and adding a little spice and interest in just, you know, kind of the usual suspects of ice cream and popsicles.
And frozen cocktails are big right now, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, of course, in the summer. I mean, well, a frozen margarita is probably always, for a lot of people, that is their go-to drink. So not for me, but.
Well, okay. So let's talk about the revival of the old school treat, because that extends into this conversation. There's a place that's just announced they're going to be serving a Dole Whip.
Yeah. So this is Ron Rico's Puerto Rico Inn restaurant in the Crossroads. And, you know, the whole menu there is kind of wrapped around the culture and food of Puerto Rico. And they have announced on Facebook that they're recently contracted with the Dole Company to bring the official Dole Whip, or Pineapple Whip, as it's known as, to Kansas City. And they're kind of, I believe you can get them plain, but they're also making like a rum, kind of a rum slushy with them as well. So
can you explain what it is? Because I have a colleague who is actually kind of obsessed with the Dole Whip, but it's been a while since I've heard this description, and I forget, like, what is this?
So, you know, I have people that contend that it comes out of Springfield, Missouri. Like, this was kind of where it was born. Apparently, they have a truck there that, but it's basically kind of a creamy pineapple. It's like a fruit slush and a twist cone kind of. It's got the consistency of, like, soft serve. And it kind of plops out and spirals into the glass like soft serve does. And it's usually served in a glass, but it's bright orange or bright yellow because it's pineapple flavored. And apparently Disneyland or Disney World also had kind of laid claim to this and served them in their parks. I think that was long before I had an opportunity to go. But so there is a bit of history here with this, but it's a really refreshing kind of creamy pineapple. I don't think there's any real dairy in it. I think, you know, they make them kind of, you know, in this day and age, I think they're really focused on the fruit, but it's still really creamy because of the consistency of the kind of soft serve that it's presented in. So, and I'm sure they just throw a nice shot of rum on there at Ron Rico so you can get your buzz on while you're getting your Dole Whip. But yeah, there's a lot of people that are freak shows about Dole Whips. It's not something I've really experienced, so I'm looking forward to it.
And then for a while, there was a popular spot that had kind of revived the snow cone, Little Freshy, and it's gone now, but the thing that they did was they put fresh seasonal ingredients in those snow cone syrups, and that basic idea does seem to still be in circulation.
Yes, I think very much we're looking at ice cream and icy treats that have very much local ingredients in them and higher quality ingredients than we may have seen in the past. So that's a pretty exciting trend, and there are several really notable ice cream shops, I think, that are demonstrating this. Certainly Betty Ray's, which has lines out the door.
And down the block.
And down the block and around the corner, probably, and soon to the city market will, you know, is one really great example where they're taking some really unusual flavors with really high quality ingredients and coming up with flavors that tickle people's imaginations. And I think that's really important.
And then, Jill, I know you work for Powell Gardens, but you have mentioned to us that there's an opportunity to get some of those fresh, like, botanical kinds of ingredients there.
Absolutely. They have something they call popsicles, and they use ingredients that come from the Heartland Harvest Garden, which is the 12-acre edible landscape there. And they actually have an exhibit right now that's kind of fun. As you go into the entrance, there are gigantic melting popsicles. And once inside, you can also see more gigantic popsicles. It's the big backyard exhibition, which is why these are so gigantic. And there's actually the history of popsicles written there, so you can find out a little bit about how it was invented by an 11-year-old boy once upon a time, and eventually he called it the Epsicle, and eventually his kids said, no, call it the Popsicle. And so we get the popsicle. Now we call ours the popsicles out there. But
so that's at Powell Gardens. But you guys, a lot of the ice cream novelty ideas seems to do with how you hold the ice cream, like the vessel for ice cream, how you deliver it to your mouth. I think the Choco Taco kind of exemplifies that for me. It was just ice cream inside a cone that was shaped like a taco shell. I put this in the past tense because I ate them in the past tense. I know the Choco Taco still exists. But this concept seems to be like the basic idea of an ice cream novelty. And Jill, tell, so example, tell me about the Donato.
The Donato, yes, that's a great example. So really, it's a donut shop, but then why not have ice cream too?
It being Donutology.
Donutology, yes. And so what they do there is they kind of replicate something called the chimney cake, which is from, I believe,
Hungary.
Hungary, thank you. I was going to say the wrong country. And they do this on the street corners, and basically it's a twirl or a cone of fried dough that has been sugared with cinnamon and sugar, and then you can have it filled with soft serve ice cream. And so
that might have been the best treat I ate last year.
It's really
I ate
unusual.
They're big too. They are big. I mean, they're big enough to share, but a fried donut cone with ice, soft serve. I mean, soft serve is just my jam. Oh my God.
There had to be a lot of confidence that people would go for this to invest. I mean, there's a special piece of equipment to make it that you have to get from Hungary, I think.
There is, yes. Mm-hmm. And they had to then train everybody how to use it.
It is fascinating to watch. I mean, it really is a cool process if you ever get a chance to kind of go in there. And if you order one, I'm sure you get a chance to watch them.
It's like watching a rotisserie chicken and then sprinkling it with cinnamon sugar.
So what, I mean, do you have a choice of different kinds of donut flavors? Do you guys have like recommendations of flavor combos and things?
Well, I mean, you can do just about anything. The cone is pretty much set, and then you can go ahead and put your ice cream and all those fun sprinkles that you would put on your donut. You could go ahead and put that on your ice cream.
Well, call 816-235-2888 to tell us about an amazing frozen treat that we need to know about. Ice cream does count. 816-235-2888. And Jenny, you've got a few ice cream sandwiches on your list.
Yeah, you know, we can't talk about it without talking about ice cream sandwiches. We have two local ice cream sandwiches that I have found that I kind of adore. And one of them is Shadow Milk, obviously has an ice cream sandwich that you can find at most grocery stores that carry the Shadow products. That's our local dairy, obviously, here in Kansas City. And they do a strawberry something something and a chocolate something something. But they have an oatmeal raisin cookie that has salted caramel ice cream in it. And I have to say right now, I despise raisins, and I really don't like oatmeal cookies for that very reason. But this cookie, I mean, I just forget I'm eating raisins. It is the combination of this beautiful, sweet, chewy oatmeal cookie that has a little bit of raisins in it and the salted caramel. I think it's the salted caramel ice cream that probably does it for me. But so you can find them at any grocery store, obviously, that carries Shadow product. And the other one I have to mention is Betty Ray's. I think they do a really nice job with theirs. They have one that is like a peanut butter jelly sandwich in a kind of ice cream sandwich kind of, you know, package, if you will. And it's basically a peanut butter cookie that has strawberry jam and strawberry ice cream in it. And they sell those in there. You can just buy them over the counter, obviously, but you can also take them to go out of their refrigerated case in Waldo. And of course, their second location that's going to be opening soon in the River Market on Delaware.
Well, that is awesome. Jill, we are also, I think we need to talk about shakes. There is a dipped shake on your list.
One of the shakes that I had tried, and this was a fall shake, seasonal. So just like we see in restaurants, we're seeing seasonal ice cream, which I think is a great concept. And at Betty Ray's, once again, they have adult shakes, floats, I guess you would call it. And so you can have a really delicious one. This was one I had back in fall, so may not be on the menu right now, but it was the seasonal cider float, Lewisburg cider, local, cinnamon ice cream, Tom Towns Pendergast, Royal Gold bourbon, and a drizzle of caramel.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah. So
that sounds delicious.
That really does.
It was warm and delicious and cool all at the same time.
Fall it doesn't make sense, but it at the same time, it really does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Let's talk to Connie in Midtown. Connie called 816-235-2888. Hi, Connie.
Hi, good morning.
What do you want to share?
Well, Lilo's shaved ice in Liberty is phenomenal. You can get the shaved ice with a scoop of ice cream in the middle and then topped with condensed milk or chocolate. They have all kinds of amazing fruit flavors, creamy flavors. It is delicious.
Well, that sounds awesome. Thank you for that call, and we'll be taking more of your calls after this break. I'm Gina Kaufman here with the Food Critics, and we are going to be right back. We've got just a little more time. You can call 816-235-2888 to tell us about your all-time favorite icy summertime treat, something frozen and delicious that you crave. This is KCUR's Central Standard. Don't go away. We are back. I'm Gina Kaufman here with Central Standard's Food Critics. Today we've got Jill Silva. She's with us from Powell Gardens and Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine. We are searching for the best frozen treats in and around Kansas City at 816-235-2888. I think that a lot of people this time of year get frozen treats at the ballpark. And when at the ballpark, I am partial to a frosty malt with a wooden spoon. Mostly because of the wooden spoon. But I know that one of our producers is also a big fan of those ice cream sundaes in little plastic helmet hats. Anyone?
I just don't get to enough ball games, but I like that vessel. It sounds like fun.
I think we have like three or four of them stacked up. I mean, my son always tunes up for that. He's got to have a hot dog and he's got to have that if we're going to a game. So
right before the break, we had a caller call in about a shaved ice, you know, kind of item that she likes. What are some things along those lines that we should be talking about?
So I have one, and it's a new place called Shaka Noodle Shack up in North Kansas City, and it's from the guys that brought us longboards, and they are doing halo halo, which is I spoke of earlier. It's a traditional Filipino dish of shaved ice with condensed milk, sweetened condensed milk, and then evaporated milk. And then it's usually decorated, if you will, kind of layered into a cup with sweet red beans or gummies, you know, different some fruits, fruit syrups, maybe even chocolate syrup, a little whipped cream. It's really colorful. It's really interesting. There's lots of texture to it. I thought it was sounded crazy when I first had it, but it's really good. It's actually really good and just delicious. So if you're interested in trying something different, get yourself up to North Kansas City to Shaka Noodle Shack and get some holo holo.
And also, Jenny, I'm with you on that. At first, it sounded like a very questionable mm-hmm. choice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then once I tried it, it's really fun. And there is a really great one over at Manila Bay, Yeehaw on Bannister. Pretty. She loves to...
I've had that one too. It's good.
Yeah. She loves to really put good. All kinds of interesting things. So, I mean, it again, it changes with whatever they have in the kitchen at that time and whatever seasonal items. But I think people look at it and they're kind of, never seen something like that. Red beans on my shaved ice. That seems a little odd, but give it a try. It's really fun.
Red bean ice cream. I mean, that is a pretty traditional Chinese ice cream, I think.
It is. And Bob Wasabi has some nice ending pieces for the meal. One is a red bean and another is ginger. And then I noticed they have a deep fried vanilla ice cream that I have not yet tried, but I definitely have that on my list.
So Jill, tell me more about the ice creams at Bob Wasabi, because I like that you've included a restaurant not known for desserts, not known for ice cream, but this is on the menu and most people wouldn't think to really consider that.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm going there for their sashimi bowls and their sushi, and it's wonderful. And then you get to the end and you're like, oh, well, those sound really interesting. And I was actually doing an ice cream feature the last time I ate there. So I'm like, I must have the ice cream. And, I must have all the scoops. And they're very different, very subtle. Nice end to the meal. And like I said, the fried vanilla looks really inviting. I'm thinking that might have a tempura batter on it. Who knows?
But it does seem like there is more of a trend of ice cream shops, not ice cream shops, restaurants having their own house-made ice creams. Mm-hmm. Who else does that particularly well?
The Antler Room actually has very interesting. They often have Indian-style kulfi.
And what is that?
That's a little bit of a denser ice cream, a little bit more milk. And it's usually served with pistachios on the side or some kind of nuts often garnishing it. And that is made by Natasha Gellner, and she is actually running her own food truck, Cirque du Sucre, which is a really awesome and wonderful spin, upscale spin on the ice cream truck that travels. So she does pop-ups all over town, but she also does her brother's restaurant. He owns the restaurant and she does the desserts. So that's kind of an interesting way to have that pop up in kind of a more refined form.
Is the food truck, does that have also frozen treats?
The food, yes, the food truck is, it's it means Circus of Sugar. And
yeah, which play can, obviously on Cirque du
which,
Soleil.
Right, which could be could mean anything, but it's only ice cream sundaes and ice cream sandwiches. Those are made on macarons, so they're very pretty, you know, the different colors of the macaron against the ice cream. And they have wonderful flavors that they sell in a cone or in a bowl or however. And they often pop up around town. I've seen them a lot lately over at the ramen shop, Columbus Ramen Shop, and Happy Gillis.
Cool. Well, and Jenny, you're talking about a new soft serve concept.
Yeah. Well, so Tribe Street Kitchen over on Delaware actually does some really interesting soft serve flavors as kind of end of the meal. They have a mojito or a peach ginger, dulce de leche, star fruit. I mean, things that they're using in their kitchen, obviously already with other things on the menu. They're kind of using that fruit and fruit pulp or whatever it is, those flavors, and adding it to their soft serve to make these really creative, interesting, kind of exotic, I would tell you, softs. And like I said, I've already raised my hand for soft serve. So I'm all about whatever flavor they want to give it to me.
Let's talk to Susan. Susan, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you want to share?
I want to share that if you are looking for a great frozen treat, go to a Mexican or Hispanic market and get the wonderful fruit ice cream bars that they have. They have all different flavors. Mango, coconut's my favorite, and then chocolate dipped with coconut. They're really, really good.
Is there a specific place that you can recommend?
Well, I like Don Antonio, but really any of the larger Hispanic markets will have them in a counter.
Well, go ahead and tell me about Don Antonio.
It's on State, and it's just a little supermarket, and they have great street tacos. They're, I think, $7, really cheap. And, you know, the frozen treats are just in the little case, just like you would get, like, an ice cream bar, but they're really, really good. Don Antonio is fantastic.
Well, thanks, Susan. Any other popsicle recommendations?
Look for Pelleterias all over town, and a lot of them, Tropicana is one.
Tropicana is one you'll see again and again. They do a great job. Really, really great job. And really, again, unusual, unique, tamarind flavored, you know, kind of spicy lime. I mean, there's
avocado, coconut. Yeah.
Really. Really good flavors.
The spicy popsicles always also have that hot and cold at the same time thing, which is such an intriguing sensation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a pineapple spiced one, chili and pineapple, I think, that I always like to get. So,
well, 816-235-2888 with your favorite frozen treats in and around Kansas City. Jill, talk to me about what Jasper's serves that made it onto your list.
Spumoni. It's an Italian ice cream. And, you know, growing up, we mostly just got vanilla and chocolate and maybe Neapolitan. And then suddenly, somehow, we discovered Spumoni. I think because we went to visit my Nana, and she was Italian, and we got introduced to it. And that was our favorite. And Jasper has a version of that. And what it is Italian layered dessert with sweetened whipped cream and rum mixed with nuts and candied fruit. So it's I kind of think of it as like the fruitcake of ice cream. Which, it's not for everyone, but it is certainly for some.
That's funny. And Jasper's is where you recommend giving it a try?
Yeah, I definitely can find it there. You can probably find it in your supermarket aisle if you look hard enough.
Spumoni is a challenge. It's not as readily available as you might think. So if you find it, jump on it.
Yeah.
I like Spumoni. I'm a pistachio girl, so.
Yeah. I like Spumoni, too.
I like the combination.
So there's, Jenny, the Pennant in downtown Topeka, Kansas, is serving something that I have a hard time even wrapping my mind around how this is possible, a dipped milkshake.
Yeah, so it's a hand-dipped milkshake. So basically, they're made from scratch. But the thing is the Pennant is a really fun kind of entertainment center that has a bowling alley and arcade games. And so I think they wanted their desserts to be kind of fun and playful like they are. And they're downtown Topeka, really cool spot, brand new place. And basically what they're doing is they're making these frozen shakes, and you can either get them with booze or without booze. And the ones with booze, obviously there's one called Over the Rainbow I'm recommending. And it's, if you can imagine like a mug, a glass mug with a handle filled with your favorite shake that has maybe cake batter or vanilla vodka added to it to booze it up. And then an entire sugar cone that's also filled with kind of the shake and all of that, topped with sprinkles, topped with whipped cream, topped with cotton candy on top. I mean, this is like an orchestrated architect dessert. It's really good. They bring you a straw, so you kind of suck from the bottom, and then you kind of eventually eat the cone and what's in it. And it's really fun, really colorful. I mean, it looks like a birthday present in front of you. But probably my favorite one there is called the Nutty Buddy, which is a play off the Little Debbie snack cake, which is peanut butter and chocolate. So it's a peanut butter shake. It doesn't have booze in it. I'm sure you could have them added if you wanted it. But I just had the Virgin, and it was so good. Peanut butter ice cream with basically just nutty bars and whipped cream kind of stuck into it. So you can just like take them out and eat them. I think there was some caramel popcorn and some other things to decorate it up, and a giant straw, and fun. Just the desserts are as much fun as the play, obviously, that you have there with bowling and games and all that. So,
does anybody still serve a banana split, or is that just over?
Well, actually, Cirque du Sucre does do that, and that's the whole reason she sort of created her truck, was that she was on a date and wanted an ice cream sundae, and they could not find one. A banana split, and they could not find one anywhere. And she's like, gosh darn it, I'm going to take care of that. And so they are available from her truck. Just good old-fashioned banana split.
I can't think of the last time I had a banana split.
You know,
I cannot think of it.
When I was a kid, I think that was special. We would sometimes do that at home, but I'm not sure that that's what I gravitate towards when I go out. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking for the new and unusual flavor, not the thing I know.
There's some ice cream news, new locations for popular spots, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, we have to talk about Betty Ray's just for a minute. They're almost ready to open. I believe they're shooting for 1st of August to open their second location, and they're so popular in Waldo, and they have lines out the door, and it's just going to be another great, fun spot. They're basically taking over a spot that used to be Al Dente, an Italian restaurant, right on the corner, the very end of Delaware. And he's going to have plenty of room in this spot. He's going to be serving, obviously, all the same things that he's serving in Waldo. It's just going to be an additional location. They're right on the streetcar line, so that'll be really accessible for locals and tourists to swing by. It's just another wonderful place going in on Delaware.
Anything else in ice cream and frozen treat news? New places, new concepts you're looking forward to?
I've got one that's essentially a pop-up again, but Dolce does Cobbler Night plus ice cream.
Whoa.
And so
that's a bakery in Prairie Village, right?
That is. And the next one is 6 to 8 p.m. on August 23rd, and the proceeds will benefit No Kids Hungry, which helps feed children around the country.
Those are always so fun. And you meet such interesting people, and you can stand around and eat your ice cream. Or she does Cobbler Night. I think she's done Brownie Nights. I mean, different ones.
And she's done ice cream sandwich night.
That's right.
But she doesn't have one scheduled, but also the raisin cookie with that wonderful fleur de sel.
I can't even talk about that particular whoopie pie cookie because I get it every time I go.
It's really good. And
maybe I love raisins and I just don't know I do.
I think that's true for me too, because I'm not really a raisin fan. But what's great is she uses glacé ice cream. So
another great local ice cream shop that has to be mentioned, Christopher Elbows.
And then Jill, bringing us really full circle here, you are talking about Clinton's ice cream fountain.
Yeah. I mean, what's fun about that is I was doing a story on Polly's Pop, and that is a new old brand. So it's a brand that was around during Truman's time, and they've resurrected it, and it's pure cane sugar. It's 9 flavors. They're being sold around town. So they got that.
It's a soda.
It's a soda, and they got that bottling line going. Well, Clinton's is just up the street. So, they made a partnership. It's owned by the same people. And so you can go up there and get whatever kind of float you'd like with Polly Pop's ice cream. And I happen to like the blackberry soda with vanilla ice cream.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
The flavors are really good at Polly's Pop. Oh,
they
my goodness.
Are.
And Jenny, on our way out, just before we go, maybe you said that frozen cocktails are popping up everywhere. Give us a favorite.
County Line Ice House in the P&L is doing basically a frozen mule and a frosé, which is rosé wine mixed. And another one is Somerset Ridge Winery just opened up out at Rose Hill Landscape out in Martin City. And she's got a sangria there that's made with green tea and cranberry and a little bit of her rosé. It's delicious. It's delicious.
Well, our time is up, but Jenny Vergara, Jill Silva, thank you both so much.
Thank you, Gina.
Thank you.
Jenny is with us from Feast Magazine, and Jill is a freelance food writer stopping by from her post at Powell Gardens today. You can get our list of the best frozen treats in and around Kansas City at kcur.org/centralstandard. We'll have it for you by the end of the day, and if you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, you'll get it that way too. And yep, I know what I'm doing this weekend. If you are looking for weekend listening, KCUR's Central Standard is archived at kcur.org/centralstandard. And some of this week's shows might be fun to catch. We had our Mr. Rogers conversation yesterday. That was a fun one. This show is produced by Sylvia Maria Gross, Suzanne Hogan, Coy Duggar, Jen Chen, and Matthew Long Middleton, as well as Kathleen Pointer, with lots of help from intern Trevor Hook. Linda Scher and Michael Byers ran the board this week. Our theme music is by Spoon Bender Labs.